Welcome to Fitness Disrupted, a production of iHeartRadio. I am Tom Holland, and this is Fitness Disrupted. Awesome. New study just came out, and I said I got to bring this to you, as I always do. You don't have to look for them. I will bring them to you. That's what this show is, bringing you the latest and greatest so that you can live your best life. And this is a new study by researchers at NYU School of Global Public Health. Pretty darn good source. And I was thinking, where do most people get their exercise and nutrition information from? Hopefully you do it here. The best guests, the latest research, decades of experience. Yes, but most don't. Most get them from three places, essentially three places. Your friends. Oh, hey, I just lost, 10 pounds in 3 weeks on this fad diet. Awesome. Do tell. No. Then there's the social media influencers. Very little experience, education, if any, but high on the genetics and showing skin on social media. Goes a long way in today's world. Doesn't generally help 99.9% of you out there. Okay. And then there's media that generally do two things. They either make it really complicated and complex when it need not be, or they take away your control by telling you it's genetics and you have no control, and then it doesn't matter and give up. These are all bad places to get your information from, and they're keeping you from your results and your best life. And so let's talk about this new study, which identified what, as one of the, or actually the lead researcher says, and I will quote her later, a potential key driver of the obesity epidemic. And as I put in the title, it's not rocket science, but it rarely is. But we're going to talk about it because there are nuances and connections that are not made by the vast majority of friends, social media influencers, and the media, because they don't have the education or experience to make them. And they have their biases. Biases? It's like swimming, swummed. Yes. So this study, let's just get right to it. New study, researchers, NYU School of Global Public Health. And they were measuring the increase in what? As they put it, industrial manufactured foods, and they were looking at the connection to obesity and, this is really important, people, other diseases. As I've talked about in dozens of podcasts already and written in my books and talk about daily, being a healthy weight is important for way more than just vanity. If that's your goal, and that's not a horrible goal. And I love that Sabrina Joe, the guest I had recently from the American Council on Exercise, said the same thing. It's okay if you want to look better. It's okay. But being a healthy weight is for many other reasons. Many other reasons. And that needs to be talked about. Now that we're talking about science, now that we're all about science, I've been all about science for decades. But I digress or get ahead of myself. So this was what? I'm going to get right to the study. Title, Ultra-Processed Food Consumption Among U.S. Adults from 2001 to 2018. This is in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, October 2021. Could it be more recent? Could it be more recent? So let me backtrack just a tiny bit. And I've done this and I will do it over and over. Because this is such a popular topic on podcasts and everything else. What is leading to obesity? There's a lot of garbage information out there from some people who sound and have some letters after their name. One in particular who was pitched to this show. And I said, no, I don't care how big the platform is. And what this person preaches over and over and over again, even when confronted with hard science to the contrary, carbs, carbs, carbs. Carbs, carbs, carbs. Not what the science says. And there are complex carbohydrates, and there are processed simple that we're going to talk about today. The quality of your food matters. And this goes to that, is a calorie? Of course not when it comes to quality of food. But when it comes to pure weight loss, yeah, heck yeah, yeah. It's calories in, calories out, energy balance. You either have more at the end of the day as far as energy intake and what you burn, or you don't. So that is one of the purest examples of media making something really complicated when it's not. A calorie is a calorie when it comes to pure weight loss. It is not a calorie when it comes to health. And that's what we'll talk about with this study as well. And so let me give you the abstract to this study. The background for this abstract is this: accumulating evidence links ultra-processed foods to poor diet quality and chronic diseases. Understanding dietary trends is essential to inform priorities and policies to improve diet quality and prevent diet-related chronic diseases. Data are lacking, however, for trends in ultra-processed food intake. Now, this is where, yeah, we always look at the science, but we can't leave common sense out. It is in all aspects of today's world, but never more so than exercise and nutrition. What were the objectives of this study? They examined U.S. secular trends in food consumption according to processing level from 2001 to 2008. So looking at the quality of the food, what kind of food, and what effects it had. And so what did they do? Really good study, NYU, right? They analyzed dietary data collected by a 24-hour recall from adult participants older than 19 years and over 40,000. That's a big group. That's a big group. In 9 cross-sectional waves of the NHANES, we've talked about this study before, from 2001 to 2002 to 2017-2018. They calculated participants' intake of minimally processed foods, processed culinary ingredients, processed foods, and ultra-processed foods as the relative contribution to daily energy intake. Now, I'm going to tell you what that is because there's such cool connections and cool connections to podcast I just did about diet soda. And so, yeah, it's not rocket science, but there's nuance that most people who talk about these subjects have no idea. All right, quick break. When we come back, I'm going to get to that really cool connection to diet soda and the quality of food and weight gain. Quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back talking about this awesome study, ultra-processed food consumption among U.S. adults from 2001 to 2018. We're talking about weight gain. One of the most popular topics, obviously, in health and wellness. It's made complicated. You listen to your friends. You listen to fitness influencers. You listen to the media. All three of whom most often don't know what they're talking about. So, this great study. And I talked about, for the break, minimally processed foods, processed culinary ingredients, processed foods, and ultra-processed foods. And that's where it gets really cool. But I'm going to come back to that. So what were the results of this study? Looking at over 40,000 people, and yes, 24-hour dietary recall, not perfect, but pretty darn good, especially with a sample size that large and a great study. And so the results were this. Consumption of ultra-processed foods increased among all U.S. adults from 2001-2002 to 2017-2018. People are eating more bad food. Is that surprising? Well, that's a huge part, as the researchers will conclude, a huge part of the problem. Not carbs in and of themselves, not toxins, not even lack of exercise. It's connected. But as I say over and over again, you cannot outrun your fork. Just because I do a lot of exercise in many races, the math is simple. I will continually do it for you. 600 calories. Just ran 6 miles this morning in the pouring rain. Loved it. If you haven't listened to my podcast, why you should exercise, run, walk in the rain, please do. I ran 5 miles on the treadmill last night because I had to, because my son was playing hockey and I needed to maximize my time. I'm getting ready for this race in 2 weeks, less than. And this morning I ran 6 miles outside, nor'easter, one of the greatest runs I've had since the last time I ran in the rain. But 6 miles, 600 calories, plus or minus. Faster now, running faster than I was back when I started training. Let's call it an hour. It was faster, but to make it easy, hour of exercise that you can undo in 10 seconds at Starbucks by taking in a 700 calorie, anything. So when we talk about weight gain and obesity and why we're getting, as a society, bigger and bigger, huge part is the food. Okay? Another finding. The trend was consistent among all socio-demographic subgroups, except Hispanics. Really interesting. But that's pretty darn interesting, too. In other words, you know, there's studies about, obviously, the connection with wealth and health, but this, and I don't want to get too deep into it, everyone, pretty much, is eating more bad food. Makes sense. It goes on. In contrast, the consumption of minimally processed foods, and I will specify what that is in a second, decreased significantly. But eating more of the good stuff, eating less of the less bad stuff. Not good. Decreased significantly over the study period from 32.7% to 27.4% of calories taken in and across, again, all socio-demographic strata. The consumption of processed culinary ingredients increased. Not good. And that was from 3.9 to 5.4%. All of this adds up. All of this adds up. Not carbs, not just making it so simple and so just, again, contradicted by research. Blaming one thing. One nutrient. No. Doesn't even go into that. We're just talking about processed foods, okay? Now, carbohydrates are a big part of that. Not to blame when it comes to total calories in, total calories out, and hunger, and we'll talk about that. All right, goes on, just a couple more findings. Whereas the intake of processed foods remains stable. So eating more of the really bad food, eating less of the least bad food, and the processed foods right in the middle. So staying the same there, but the overall trend, bad. More bad, less good, or less bad. And here's what I love. And here's where we're going to get into the subtleties that no one talks about. The intake of some sugary foods and drinks declined. Wait a minute. Isn't that a huge part of the problem? The intake of some sugary foods and drinks declined. Let's go back to that podcast I did not too long ago about diet soda. And if you haven't listened to that one, you should. Just going to touch on this real quickly because it shows you how you got to read up and know the connections and the subtleties and the gray areas that aren't really that gray. Well, they're gray, but they're there. So the podcast was The Real Reason Diet Soda Causes Weight Gain and belly fat. You go, wait, how can that be? What they found, and I want you to listen to that podcast if you haven't already, but basically, those who consume higher quantities of soft drinks may also have a dietary and/or lifestyle pattern that's not as healthy as those who do limit these drinks. Crazy. Also, it's possible that some current drinkers of diet soft drinks have replaced regular with diet drinks for health reasons. They already have issues. Okay? And this is what I truly believe, that's all important. All of these points are important. But the hunger, the satiety, the hunger, the ghrelin, the leptin hormones, things like that. Some researchers have suggested that the high sweetness in artificially sweetened drinks may result in hunger or greater preference for other sweet, energy-dense foods, processed foods. So in other words, yeah, people are drinking less of the really bad sodas. And some people are drinking more, don't get me wrong. But what are they doing as a result? So I'm not drinking the Coke, I'm drinking the Diet Coke, but I'm eating more after. I'm drinking the Diet Coke, it's making me hungrier. I'm drinking the Diet Coke, it's screwing up. And diet soda, I don't know. The artificial sweeteners are totally screwing up our evolutionary taste buds and ability to determine the caloric value of food. Crazy. All right, let me give the conclusion and then go back. The current findings highlight the high consumption of ultra-processed foods in all parts of the U.S. population and demonstrate that intake has continuously increased in the majority of the population in the past two decades. We're eating more bad food, people. And generally speaking, not really touched on in the specifics of this study, just talking about the food itself, but more calorically dense, it's more calories, and tend to make you hungry again and again and again. And then you add in the artificial sweeteners, and now we're on a roller coaster of chaos. Caloric chaos. All right, but let me give you the specifics because kind of interesting, right? Minimally processed foods, well, what are those? Those are vegetables, fruits, grains, meat, and dairy. So people are eating less meat, less dairy. But remember, let me get you the specifics again. People are eating less minimally processed foods. So you go, okay, that's probably good when it comes to meat and dairy. I don't want to get into too much, but meat, we should eat less meat. I believe in we need some. That's me. Mediterranean diet. Okay, you can do what you want. Vegan, vegetarian, I get it. But we should eat less. And so people are. But they're also eating less what? Vegetables. Right? Fruits. Fruits bad for you? Mm-mm. Oh God, listen to that podcast. Okay, less grains. Whew. Now, if you have dietary restrictions, all of that stuff doesn't apply. But fruits and vegetables, we're eating less of that. That's what this research showed, over 40,000 people. Okay? What was the number again? Minimally processed foods decreased significantly over the study period from 32.7 to 27.4%. So you could say that's good if it's meat, but it's really bad, in my opinion, if it's vegetables and fruit, and even dairy and grains. Excessive moderation. Now, I have cut out dairy for the most part because my body doesn't like it anymore. Don't want to talk too much about that because whatever, but we're all different. But we're talking about the science and the calories and the weight gain and things like that. So we're all going to have different dietary needs and likes and restrictions and sensitivities, whether psychological or physiological or a combination of the two. We're still going to talk about the science, right? So people are eating less of the good stuff. And mixed into that good stuff is some bad stuff. Meat, you shouldn't be eating red meat five times a week. I don't care who you are. All right, so there you go. Processed culinary ingredients, olive oil, butter, sugar, and salt. So if you remember the percentage, couple percent more. People are adding more of those things, which add up. Butter, sugar, salt. And then the processed foods that kind of stayed the same, that's cheese, canned fish, and canned beans. So not great, but not, you know, that remained the same. And the ultra processed foods, that's what we're talking about. Frozen pizza, soda, fast food, sweets, salty snacks, canned soda, and most breakfast cereals. So we're eating more bad stuff. Why does it matter? I'm going to answer that when we come back from the final break. Final break, we'll be right back. And we are back talking about new study that identifies a potential key driver of the obesity epidemic. Yes, processed foods, our increased intake in processed foods. Our genes haven't changed. Our DNA over the past couple decades. What has changed? How much we eat that is processed, that isn't as healthy, that makes us hungrier, that has higher calories, that screw up our taste buds, and all of those things in combination. And yes, how much we move makes a difference. All of those things, which is why you need to listen to all of these podcasts. And when you take the little bits and put them into place than you can live your best life and not deprive yourself and find the healthy foods you like and understand the science and understand why you may be one of those people. Listen, I still have an occasional diet soda. It doesn't make me hungry like it does many people, obviously. But I'm aware of that. But that's the science. And when they talk about calories, not a calorie, and they try to make it really complex and complicated, when in terms of weight loss, energy, neither created nor destroyed, just changes form. But if we're talking about leptin and ghrelin and hunger hormones, that's different. We got to be honest. Like, getting worked up. I'm so happy that we're talking science in other aspects of the world right now and how it's really important. And when that aspect dies down, suffice it to say, I will be continuing that mantra. Listen to the science, not the fitness influencer, not the celebrity. All right? Getting worked up. All right. So why does it matter? Well, they said it right in the beginning. And this is why I talk about weight matters. Not to loving yourself, not to liking yourself, not to your self-worth. We're talking health. This is science, people. Science. And I've talked about joint issues. You know, which is worse for you? Running 3 miles three times a week or carrying around 30 extra pounds 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? What do you think's worse on your knees and your lower back? Okay, so that's what we're talking about. And what these researchers talked about, and I quote, eating more ultra-processed foods is associated with poor diet quality. That's where calories do matter. And higher risk of several chronic diseases. And I would argue they are, you know, not minimizing. There's more than several. So, yeah, you can be skinny, unfit as well. You can eat just Pez and, you know, a little bit of anything else, a couple pieces of toast and really low calorie of low quality food and be skinny. You're still going to have those chronic diseases. You're not going to have maybe the musculoskeletal issues. You'll have different ones. You can have issues. And this is why I say over and over again, I don't want to hear what you don't eat. I want to hear what you do. We need more books like that. Tell me the healthy foods you're eating because those make you feel really good. So instead of like focusing on not eating for windows of time or going on these restrictive diets, you can be, yes, like me and many of my clients who were successful when I was a trainer, who found the exercise and the foods that made them feel really good and decreased their likelihood of disease. Numerous, numerous. That's why it matters. And now in the COVID world, are you kidding me? Two major risk factors for death with COVID, age and obesity. You don't think it matters? And they're going to finish with this. Their indications, they finished up the study by saying, and obviously this is common sense as well, that the pandemic led to an increase in eating less nutritious, self-stable foods. Think of how nuts that is. Now, I get it. There's a rush for food. Couldn't get food, and it's happening again. This is reverse Darwin, right? This is like, so we have a pandemic where the less healthy you are, the more likely you are to have major issues and die from it. And so the response is to go out and grab and hoard and consume ultra-processed foods. And yes, move less. You talk about a recipe for disaster. Now, I'm getting angry with myself because I'm a positive person, but this is the truth. And it's all controllable. And so my point is, when we wrapping the whole show up, it's not rocket science. Most of what I bring to you is not. I would argue the diet soda stuff and things like that, that's kind of like, didn't think that. And that's where we have to look back at evolution and what we, you know, evolved to do, to consume, and how the modern world is, yes, killing us slowly, but faster and faster. And so we need to eat more healthy foods. That's the takeaway. And there's a time and a place, 80-20. But we need to eat more fruits and vegetables and lean sources of protein and healthy fats, all the above, not demonize one nutrient, one macro. Don't make it complicated where it doesn't have to be, and it shouldn't be. Anything you do, you should do for a lifetime. There's nothing I have done in the last, God, I don't even know how many years, that I'm not doing today. And when I look back at the course of my career, body weight exercises, push-ups, planks, slow strength training, eating everything I just described to you, having treats, but not all the time, all of the above, it's exactly what you all can do too. But you're going to find those exercises you like. You're going to find that cardio you like. You're going to find those healthy breakfast options you like. You're going to find those treats that work for you. You're going to figure out if diet soda does or does not work for you. And I'm not an all or nothing people. Like, oh my gosh, Tom, you know, drinks diet soda. Yeah, occasionally I do. Sue me. But you know what? My numbers are great. I feel great. And it's occasionally. Extremes are easier. And they're less healthy for the most part. I'm done. I'm done. So there you go. One of the most recent studies that now you know. Let me give it to the title again. You bring it up at, you know, your next cocktail party. Ultra-processed food consumption among U.S. adults from 2001 to 2018. You think you're surprised? We should be surprised that we're eating less good food? No. But stop blaming things for weight gain that aren't the cause. Because if you're blaming the wrong cause, people, you're never going to get there. And that's why I get really angry with these experts and pseudo-experts. They're preventing you from living your best life. Not happening here. Thank you for listening. You want to reach out, Tom H. Fit, Instagram and Twitter, Tom H. Fit, fitnessdisrupted.com. You can email me through the site. Please follow the show, rate the show, reach out. So many great comments and questions. Love it. Oh my gosh, the greatest audience ever. And I do not take what I do lightly. I'm not selling shoes. And I'm only going to bring you the best, most recent, most unbiased information. And then I'm going to give you the behavioral side, because it's the combination of exercise and nutrition and motivation, people, that makes it all happen. And I'm here to help. Thank you for listening. I am Tom Holland. This is Fitness Disrupted. Believe in yourself. Fitness Disrupted is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.